What's up and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning to you guys on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Glad that you're with us here. We're going to be here until 10 o'clock, and it'll be Carmen and Yurko. They'll broadcast from Rich Harvest Farms here in Sugar Grove as well from 10 to 12:30, leading you into White Sox baseball as they take on the Rockies. A 1:10 start right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. A little bit of Waddle and Sylvie afterwards, then Abdallah on the Black and Abdallah Show, Freddie and Fitzsimmons from 8 to midnight right here on ESPN 1000. You know what, Cap? We're going to talk about the White Sox in just a moment. Let's just do a recap of what we just had. First of all, a bucket list interview with you talking to a Hall of Famer and Greg Norman. We should have been paying him for the time.
Oh my goodness. Let me just tell you something.
Cap.
Like, I have been a fan of Greg Norman's, I mean, since the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the clothing line came out, I was that guy that was buying up, you name the shirt, I had it.
Right.
The pants, the whole deal. And I just always respected how he handled himself after he lost at the Masters on Sunday. That guy just exudes confidence and class, and the way he carries himself and the way he was so gracious to the winner of the tournament when he blew the lead.
Yeah.
And I've always respected that guy. And so to sit here and have a chance to talk to him, we got to talk to him off air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a bucket list interview.
There's no question, because we're talking to a Hall of Famer, for number one. But number two, I thought the conversation, it's more than just, hey, what about this tournament, what about golf? The guy is someone that can be able to talk it to any group, whether it's for golf. As you mentioned, he talked to the Australian golf team yesterday. But for business as well, being able to understand how to market yourself.
Correct.
As I mentioned, I just threw it in there like, hey, shark.com. He got on there early, right? Whenever you're trying to get a domain name, and it's like, oh, shark's available, shark.com.
Right.
That means that you're right on it when it comes to trying to market yourself. I got the website. I've got the gear. I've got the golf experience. I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm with golf. So he understands also how to grow the game. One thing that we criticize with baseball a lot, right, is that you and I love baseball. It's in our DNA. We grew up with it. Mm-hmm. But baseball's had a hard time being able to understand, as he mentioned, the bite-sized clips and to be able to market the sport. Norman already has that mindset of how to be able to market live, right? It's more than just his face. It's just that it's the names that are in the sport and also marketing the sport where people are thinking golf. Okay, PGA, live. So live's already in that market space.
Because he's a brand.
Mm-hmm.
He took the moment the Atlanta Journal-Constitution said Great White Shark leads the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, boom, shark.com and the clothing line and the whole, and it's who he is. It's his persona. But that brand was organic, how it started. Yeah, I really enjoyed talking to that guy.
And you bought into it, right? Just like if someone's going to get the Jordan brand, Ohtani, LeBron James, whatever, right?
Yep.
It's somewhere it's like, well, I can live vicariously through this person based on the gear that I buy. And you did that yourself. Right?
Correct.
You're living vicariously through the person that you root for, watch.
No question.
Yeah.
I said to him, Dave Sharp, from our head of our sales department, but we both said, you going to go out there and try and play with these kids? He's like, Blake, no. I can't hang with these guys anymore.
He says that.
I'm at a different stage of my life now.
Switching gears, well, we're talking about the White Sox. The Sox will take on the Rockies. You might be getting yourself ready to go to Guaranteed Rate Field to see the Sox and Rockies. Good tickets available for a businessman special at 110 over at 35th and Vec. Rick Hahn, the general manager of the White Sox, has some things to say. Now, again, the storyline going into the White Sox game today and moving forward, Cap, is that the Sox have their backs against the wall. Because they have played average to sometimes below average baseball. Now here we are in mid-September, and now the Sox have to continue to win out and then try their luck, try to figure out how they're going to be able to do this. The other storyline is that Tony La Russa, we don't know when Tony's going to return. We understand there's a heart issue there. Yeah. Miguel Cairo has been leading this team, but 10-4 since he's been the interim manager, and people are wondering, is the team playing better because of Cairo or because the Sox collectively know it's either now or never?
So
what do you think?
As I look at that team, and I know there's a lot about Miguel Cairo and his speech, somebody who I trust who's around that team said, yeah, it's a little overstated. There's a lot of talent on that team. And the players had a players-only meeting as well after Tony left. It said, okay, guys, let's just have fun. For the last 30-some games, let's have as much fun as we can and play as hard as we can, run as hard as we can. If we get injured, we get injured. If we fall short, we fall short. But let's just get after it. And they played a lot better baseball.
A team this talented on paper, Cap, should not be trying to need a kick in the ass all throughout the season. How many meetings has this been? Cairo with the meeting, players-only meeting. Hey, you've just underachieved. I've said this to you in May. The Sox play like so cavalier. It's like, oh, we throw our glove on the field, we could be able to win. Those home runs will be automatic. That pitching will be automatic, and they have underachieved. They don't play like they're under pressure. I've never seen the Sox play like they're squeezing the bats. We've seen teams like that before. Like Cubs are like that. Yeah. 18, 19 Cubs were like that.
Squeezing the sawdust out of the bat.
Sox don't do that. Sox make an error. Josh Harrison makes an error. Errors in the outfield. We'll make up for it. It's that team that it's like that NBA team that's down 10 that doesn't plays lazy defense and go, oh, we'll make it up with threes. We're fine. Don't worry. It doesn't work that way
it
in baseball.
Not. It does not.
So how about Rick Hahn? As you mentioned to me before, Rick spoke on Zoom because he's got COVID, right? Rick Hahn?
He has COVID, so he had to do a Zoom to talk about Tony and the state of the team and the whole deal. But I found it rather ironic that we're talking about a man with a heart issue with his pacemaker that I don't know who knew. They haven't said if Rick knew that Tony got a pacemaker before spring training, or does Tony have to disclose that? I mean, I don't think he does, but I would think you would, in confidence, HIPAA being your privacy to your health, you might tell the trainer, hey, just letting you know I have a pacemaker. If I go down, here's my doctor's protocol, what you need to do.
If I go down, yes. Yeah, I mean, true. It's a thing. You're right.
I have a friend who's in his 50s. He had a pacemaker put in at age 37.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we have to be treated differently with a pacemaker. And so he let people at his bosses know, hey, if God forbid I'm on the air and I black out, here's what's going on. I have a pacemaker.
We'll hear more from Rick Hahn momentarily, but the one thing we want to have this segment is for you to chew on this. This 28 seconds of Rick Hahn when the question was asked, is Tony La Russa automatically the manager when he's cleared? Listen.
I mean, I think it's a conversation once we get to that point, but we're not at that point yet. So for now, it's just taking it day by day and following the lead of the medical professionals and talking to Tony. I talked to Tony 5 minutes before I called you or called into this call and so talked about how he was, and he was happy to be around and pointed out that the one game he's been to over the last couple of weeks and in Oakland we lost. So he was taking that hard, and I tried to point out there's a little difference between causation and correlation, but let's see how tonight goes, Skip.
So the thoughts there from Rick Hahn. We will respond to Rick Hahn's comments coming up next. Connor McKnight at 9:30 to preview the Sox and Rockies. Cap and Jay Hood broadcasting live from Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove on Chicago's Home for Sports. Here's David Kaplan fumbling with his headphones. Hello again, everybody.
You know, I'm old. I don't have my headset. Wow.
What do we have here, Cap? Tell the people.
The biggest part of their name will always be the smallest. They are Blue Cross and Blue Shield of, which means they are of our communities and our families, of a promise passed down for a healthier tomorrow. And above all else, they will always be of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois through it all.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Here from Rich Harvest Farms for Live Golf here in Sugar Grove. Carmen Yurko will be here as well from 10 to 12:30 in a White Sox baseball to take on the Rockies right here on ESPN 1000. That ESPN Chicago app comes in handy to go back and listen to Cap and Jay Hood. You missed our conversation with Greg Norman. It's an hour two. Just click today's podcast, hour two, and listen to what we thought was a fantastic conversation with Greg Norman, the Shark, representing Live Golf. Available on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in today on this hump day, meat and cheese week. We will talk more about the Bears and the Packers with Mark Tauscher. He'll be part of the program tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it. Longtime staple on the Packer offensive line. And he was a broadcaster and teammate for Good Karma Brands, our company. And I'm sure the biggest regret in his career has got to be that he never got to play in a Bears uniform.
I'm sure we'll ask him about that coming up on tomorrow's show right here on ESPN 1000. Let's go back to what we heard before the break, Cap. Before the break, we heard from Rick Kahn. Tyler, let's go back to the question. Is Tony La Russa, is he automatically the manager when he's cleared? Listen.
I mean, I think it's a conversation once we get to that point, but we're not at that point yet, so. For now, it's just taking it day by day and following the lead of the medical professionals and talking to Tony. I talked to Tony 5 minutes before I called you or called into this call and so talked about how he was, and he was happy to be around and pointed out that the one game he's been to over the last couple of weeks and in Oakland, we lost. So he was taking that hard. I tried to point out there's a little difference between causation and correlation, but let's see how tonight goes, Skip.
Cap, he didn't answer the question in typical Rick Kahn fashion.
Correct.
What's your gut say? What's your gut feel? Yeah, you know Tony wants to be back in that dugout because Jerry asked him to be the manager of this team. He thought, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Jerry Reinsdorf felt, man, Rick Renteria is a good A to B guy, mm-hmm. good A to B manager. Mm-hmm. But you know who could tip it in? A Hall of Fame manager and my friend. The guy that when I go to Scottsdale, I have lunch or dinner with. The guy I talk baseball with, even though he's not part of my organization, I like talking to Tony because he's a friend. I can bust his balls. He can bust mine. He shouldn't have been fired the first time that he was here when Hawk Harrelson was the manager. Karkov eyes behind the plate, a Hall of Fame catcher in left field. Yes! Hell yeah! So he decides he wants to do that, right?
Right.
And so what's your gut tell you about this situation? The guy's got a bad ticker.
My gut feeling is
Cairo finishes this out.
That Cairo finishes the season.
Does that make more sense?
Now, if you tell me the White Sox lose today and lose to Cleveland tomorrow, and Cleveland rolls in here, takes 2 of 3 next week, and it's over, that it's obvious you're, I don't know, 14 games left and you're 6 games back, you're probably done. You might see Tony come back. But if they win today, they win tomorrow, somewhere in there Cleveland loses, and you go, oh, my goodness, they're 1 game back. I don't think he does anything that could potentially be perceived as upsetting the apple cart.
Except from the fan base. Based on calls, you see it on social, people believe that Cairo is the reason. And I'm saying just because Cairo's been there the whole time, he's just been the bench coach.
Correct.
And so that the feeling that because Cairo has been the manager, that things have turned around, I don't necessarily 100% buy into that because I just think that the players were able to play well the last 4 series, winning those series. You know, for me as a Sox fan, the most important thing is that they beat Minnesota because Minnesota's been the hammer and the Sox have been the nail in that equation for a long time. But beating Minnesota and beating Seattle were key. I mean, you're going to beat the A's. It's the A's. You're going to beat them. You beat them 3 out of 4. You beat Kansas City 2 out of 3. But those other 2 series, I think that's told a great story about the Sox that they're turning the corner somewhat. But what does that really mean, turning the corner? What does that really mean when you're, what, 3 games out?
They've turned the corner because I think they're playing better, cleaner baseball. Rick talked about that yesterday on his Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
That we're seeing the team that we put together play better baseball. Now, Elvis Andrus has had a huge impact on this team, not just in his raw numbers and we'll talk to Connor McKnight about it. The raw data tells you, yeah, his numbers are good. His persona on the field, the way he plays, the way he's respected in the clubhouse, all of that goes hand in hand. Now T.A.'s been cleared to ramp up baseball activities. You're telling me you're going to take T.A., drop him back into short, and go, Elvis, you're on the bench? Get D.H. out of here. No chance. I personally would put T.A. at second and leave Elvis where he's best at shortstop. If Elvis says, hey, man, I can go play third, you can move Moncada to second, or you could put me at second and Harrison as whatever it takes. But take him out of the lineup?
I wouldn't do that, no.
No chance.
Rick Hahn also talked about how the team has been playing under Miguel Cairo.
You know, the team's obviously been playing very well for an extended period now, in our opinion, playing up to its potential. You've seen a great deal of energy. You've seen a great deal of fight. You've seen some of that swagger that we talked about in the past. But most importantly, they're playing good baseball. And as I said, playing as a team and fulfilling a lot of that potential that we many of us saw in this club. Miggy obviously deserves a great deal of credit, but I'd be remiss if I didn't also point out the effort of the other coaches there. I think the communication between the coaches has been outstanding. The communication between the front office and the coaches has been very strong. And the players have stepped up and taken responsibility and put forth an effort to fill the void left by Tony's absence. It's really been enjoyable to watch, not simply because of the results on the field, which have been great, but also because of the unity and commonness of purpose that we've seen and the intent and the energy that we've seen from players and coaches alike.
Does this situation at all affect how you assess your manager coaching staff performance for going forward next year, or is the way the team has performed under Miguel, you know, affect how you assess what the best situation is going forward at all?
I think it's way too soon for that. Let's just win tonight. Look, we've been trying to navigate the last few weeks under unique circumstances, and I think the team has done very well, and obviously everyone's noted that. But as for what lies ahead for next year, it's simply too soon for that.
Tyler, take off the White Sox Radio Network hat off and just let me get talk show Tyler in here.
Boy.
So talk show Tyler, what do you think? Because obviously the low-hanging fruit would be, hey, you know, Cairo's the difference. And my thought is the Sox have been playing like this winning series the entire time. They've just grossly underachieved.
I think a lot of it is you're just seeing some of these 50-50 games start to go the Sox way. Now, here's the other thing, too, is how much impact does Miguel Cairo have on hitting home runs? This team is just hitting more home runs right now as a whole. I don't know if that's totally Miguel Cairo, but maybe the way that they feel in the locker room, maybe the way that they feel in the clubhouse, maybe the way that they feel in warmups and stuff like that is impacted by Miguel Cairo and maybe the different culture that he's trying to impart on this team.
What do you think, Cap? I mean, what is he saying that's different from Tony? Seriously, I could, do you have any clue?
I don't think he's saying anything different from Tony. What I do think he's doing different than Tony, and it's a great question to ask Chuck Garfine, Ryan McGuffey, head of White Sox content. These guys are in the room every day. Is I think one of Tony's weaknesses is I'm a Hall of Fame manager. I know what I'm doing. I don't need my coaching staff to run my decisions by. And he's... What's the word? It's not obstinate. He's just, hey, man, I've proven. I've won 3 World Series. I know what I'm doing. Just handle the players. I'll take care of this decision. Should I go to the lefty here? Should I go to the righty? Should we bunt? Tony makes, I think, Miguel, he's never been a manager. I think he's more inclusive in getting decisions from the front office on analytics and from, let me go to Ethan Katz's idea here. What do you think? Should I go to Hood or should I go to JR? Which one do you guys think? In the end, it's his decision.
Sure.
And if it blows up, it goes on the manager's record. I think, and from what I've heard, Tony needs to be better about allowing his coaches to weigh in game situations.
You know, that was a fear going in because when we saw the coaching staff, like, well, Katz's never done this, and who's Miguel Cairo? Because usually in that situation, the bench coach is an old guy. Right?
Correct.
But the manager's an old guy.
Correct.
So the old guy's looking at him is like, well, you've never been in these key situations. St. Louis, A's, White Sox was my first job. What are you going to tell me what I don't know? Well, it's always good to be able to delegate and ask. right?
Right.
Ask the question.
So if they had hired Pickett, like David Ross got hired by the Cubs.
Yeah.
Perfect example. David knows baseball. He was a catcher. He's well-respected. But he's never been the guy where you got to make a decision right now. Are we bunting here? Am I pinch hitting? Like, the moment goes.
Yeah.
So he would have a Tony La Russa type mm-hmm. as his bench coach who says to him, you may want to think about this. Again, it's your call. You're the manager. You may want to think, JR is really scuffling with his back right now. This is a guy who overpowers you with the fastball. You may want to go to Randy Merkin. Well, not Merkin because he'd strike out. But
all right.
You go to Hood here in this situation. In the end, the manager makes the call. I don't think, from what I've heard, Tony does his good enough job at being inclusive. He's a brilliant baseball man. He is. But at 77, you're not as sharp as you were at 57. That's just a fact.
It's true. More on the White Sox with Connor McKnight from the White Sox Radio Network. That's next on Cap and Jay Hood.
You gotta read here. Let me tell you about my friends at Apt. A-B-T. Apt.com is such an awesome, awesome store. I bought an outdoor TV there. The Samsung Terrace line of TVs are giving you a bundle of savings. Now, I have one of these Samsung Terrace TVs out in the backyard. Now it's going to be fall. Put a hoodie on, turn the fire pit on, and away we go. Watch a movie. It's awesome. You get $200 towards a compatible Visa wall mount or towards their installation services when you choose this outdoor TV. Watch the game from your patio or enjoy a late-night movie around the fire pit with the family. The family! Fall in love with your new entertainment savings bundle for free in-home delivery, professional installation from my guy Eric Bronchi, Jason Shapiro. These guys are amazing and complete satisfaction. Shop where we shop. It's my favorite store in the world. Apt. A-B-T. Apt.com. Pleasing people since 1936.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood. We are the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, we got JR, we got Shay, we got Tyler, we got you. Then we crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko coming up at the top of the hour at 10 o'clock right here as we broadcast live at Live Golf, Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove. Sox will take on the Colorado Rockies at the 12:30 pregame with Connor McKnight and a 1:10 first pitch with Len and DJ. Connor joins us here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Connor.
Morning, fellas. How we doing?
We're doing great. We'll start first with the low-hanging fruit, and we've had several segments here this morning talking about the impact of Miguel Cairo. So I'll ask, what is the difference between Miguel Cairo as the interim manager and Tony La Russa, just based on the way the Sox have played?
Well, listen, I think there's a couple of different things that have looked a little different over the last few weeks, and whether that's only because Miguel Cairo is the guy calling the shots or like Miguel himself has said, you know, desperation has kind of begun to rule a lot of decision-making processes here. I mean, listen, if the Cleveland Guardians play at their current winning percentage, that means they finish with about 87 wins. You got to round up, you know, 0.2 of a point to get them to 87, but I think you do that. That means the White Sox have to win 16 in the next 20. So that is a different thing. That's a tough thing to do to get to 88 wins if you give the Guardians that pace. Anyway, I think some of the things that have been different are a little bit of a quicker hook for pitchers. You saw Johnny Cueto leave the last two starts, if memory serves, before the inning was over. And that's just something where, you know, you could be looking at Johnny and saying, listen, the workload is getting up there now. You know, it was an atypical beginning of the season. We want to make sure you leave with good feelings. But they've also had guys up and ready to go. You know, that there's a willingness to get through, or at least have a reliever just face the three minimum if that's what it takes to go to the next guy and kind of make some relief there. They've hit the home run ball. You know, that's the biggest difference. And I don't know that you can necessarily say, well, this coach said that and therefore they're hitting home runs, right? I mean, that seems a little bit crazy, especially, you know, as we're talking about midstream here, or very late in the crossing of the river. So I think those are the biggest differences. But again, how much you can attribute to one guy or another, one, you know, pregame speech or the other, is really difficult to tell. That's kind of the magic of baseball, isn't it?
It is the magic of baseball. By the way, how are your crab potato chips?
I haven't gotten to, you know, with the White Sox at the ballpark, I haven't gotten into the studio yet, so they wait for me like a late season present. I look forward to popping that bag open as soon as we're back.
Oh, there's more than one bag.
Week.
I bought our boy a case. Oh,
I saw it in there.
That's going to be a problem for the old waistline, but we'll work through it.
So, let me talk to you about Miguel. I just said this to
Jonathan
Puddy,
yeah.
And I'm curious. I want to get Carm's opinion on it later. Do you... Yourself.
What did I say wrong? I just.
I want to know if you think that the thing that Miguel Cairo's doing the best, because I truly don't believe changing from him to Cairo, Tony to Cairo, all of a sudden everyone's like, all right, good, we got that guy out of here. Let's start playing now. I don't believe any of that. I think that's nonsense. But I think he is doing a much better job at. Tony makes his decisions in a vacuum, and he really doesn't utilize his coaches well enough. That's what I'm being told by people in that room that would know. I believe Cairo's saying, Ethan Katz, what do you think here? In the end, it's his decision, but what do you think we should do here? Oh, Joe McEwing, you think we ought to bunt here? You think we should hit and run? You think we should pitch out? Think we should steal? Do you think that's possible?
I suppose that's possible, sure. You know, I also think, though, that there's sort of this kind of paralysis by analysis that can happen in this sport. I really think kind of the driving issue here is that, you know, listen, I think Liam Hendricks has put it this way to Waddle and Sylvie a couple of times when he's been on and in. There is a point at which a collective of baseball players and coaches say, This is it. This has to be our last rah-rah speech because we're out of time. You know, this is the ball game if we don't get it going here. You know, we've been saying all season long that this White Sox team is probably the most talented in the division. And that, you know, at the beginning of the year, that didn't account for Stephen Kwan and Ahmed Rosario doing what they've been doing for the Guardians. And it didn't account for the Twins making their trades at the deadline and picking up the pitching they have and for that pitching to be either hurt or ineffectual. I think some of this is the long season coming to bear at the end of the day. Whether there's, you know, a more collective decision-making process or not, I guess we'll have to be told that after the season's over. But I wouldn't be surprised if change for change's sake this late has altered a mindset or a willingness or a get up and go a little bit. You know, shoot, there's a win one for the Gipper kind of thing that exists in sports as well. There isn't, I don't think, you know, ill will pointed in any one direction either. I think this is a team that, you know, from the get, and by team I mean everybody, that wants to be in the playoffs and expected them to be in the playoffs. So that's a pretty tough goal to put away and not, you know, not think about just because one thing or the other has changed.
Connor, because the White Sox have their back against the wall, you should do this as much as possible for any team, but I think for the White Sox, you want to have your best defensive team out there possible. And we've been seeing that Tim Anderson might be coming back soon. So what's the scenario of Moncada at third, Anderson at short, Elvis Andrews at second, and Abreu at first? Can you live with that for the rest of the regular season?
Yeah, Hoodie, I would guess that's the most likely scenario. Everybody from Rick Hahn to Miguel Cairo to, you know, coaches and staff and other players have been asked about this. And, you know, the collective answer has been, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Tim's still got some time before he comes back. It's unclear whether or not he's going to need minor league rehab games. Remember, the AAA season goes through, I think it's the 29th of September. So that's a little different this year. That enables later minor league rehab starts if possible. But, you know, with the idea that Tim could return for the next homestand, which is, incidentally, begins with a three-game series against the Guardians, I would bet that that is the most logical infield alignment. I think it might also be their best, and it certainly could be their hottest hitting with the way Yoan Moncada looks at the plate right now, the way Elvis Andrews is swinging the bat, Jose Abreu just homered for the first time in 37 games, and you get Tim Anderson back, you know, the all-star starting shortstop, the way he's capable of playing. That could be a real shot in the arm by the time Cleveland gets to the ballpark next week.
Connor, the Cleveland game tomorrow and the Dylan Cease going today and the Lance Lynn tomorrow, if things worked out and they're in the postseason, and they play the Toronto Blue Jays, and it's north of the border. Dylan Cease getting vaccinated?
If that's got to happen, or if that were to happen, it would have had to have happened in the last week or so, or in the next couple of days, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I suppose that there is the is it the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that's one shot? Boy, it's been so long since the first doses. I think that's the case.
I think that's right.
Yes.
I think that's right. And that's, listen, Cap, that's a serious thing. If they are headed to Toronto, this does matter. So I think that question is going to be one, or perhaps is one, that has already been asked. The other thing to remember, though, is if the White Sox are playing till the end of the year before, that last day they're in the playoffs, that means that you'd probably want to keep Cease around and available up until that final day to start if possible. And I think that's what Lynn getting the start today, Thursday against the Guardians, and Cease getting the start today is a little bit about. If that's the case, that means Cease, if he started the final game of the season, if I have the schedule right, and I just did it the other day, so I think I am, that means it wouldn't be until game three that Cease would be available to start in that postseason series if you're rushing him, I think, on 4 days rest. So that might work out in that first round if it does happen to be the Blue Jays, but I do think that's a conversation that is probably occurring now, because you have to plan for those things. That's absolutely got to be something that gets talked about and gets decided.
Connor, thanks for being a wonderful guy by sending those pictures on Twitter of the Oakland Coliseum. Not only did you send pictures, I think you sent some safety hazards as well. I don't know how they're playing ball in that place.
It's, unique is a word that gets tossed around a lot. And I think sometimes we even put degrees of it's just there's just one level of unique. It's just unique. Nothing's very unique or less unique. It's just unique. And that ballpark, my God, fellas, that is unique. There was a possum issue before we got there. Thank goodness that was resolved. There were feral cats. That was resolved. It's really something. I'll be honest with you though. Being able to check that box of having done a game at the Oakland Coliseum, that's really cool to me, and I'm glad I had the chance to do that. I do feel bad for that Oakland A's franchise that they're going to – it seems like there's going to be a lot more games there than in another ballpark around the Oakland area or in another city here until they make a decision. So, oh boy, it is it's quite a place is what it is. It's truly quite a place.
The pictures I saw some cracks in the foundation. That place looks old and dilapidated.
Oh,
horrible.
God. Horrible. Like Moneyball showed it.
Oh boy. Yeah, and there was an ATM down there too, guys. I mean in the press area there's an ATM just in case you need a couple of bucks. So yeah, it's quite a thing.
Hey, man, have a good day.
Thank you, Connor.
All right, we'll see you, boys.
All right, Connor will have the pregame along with Lennon DJ for the Sox and the Rockies coming up at 12:30 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. All right, coming up next, did you see what Rosenthal wrote?
I did.
In The Athletic?
We got to talk about that with Carmen Yerk.
Yep, that'll be coming up right around the corner. All part of the mix right here from Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove. It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Illinois Media School Lombard, color commentator, play-by-play announcer, producer, analyst. These are just a handful of careers in the sports media industry. Hey, it's Jay Hood here to tell you that live sports run the world. And if you don't like your job, you don't like your major, you know what you should do? You should consider communications, be in the broadcast space. I want you to go to the website, beonair.com. It's beonair.com. Or call this number, 630-916-1700. 630-916-1700 for Illinois Media School Lombard. Flexible class schedules, financial aid for those who qualify. What I like most about it is that cross-section of broadcasters, those that used to be in the business, those are currently in the business, so you get that experience that you need. Again, financial aid available for those who qualify for Illinois Media School Lombard, 630-916-1700. Or go to the website, schedule a visit by going to beonair.com. It's beonair.com. Tyler.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Glad that you're with us. Cap and I had a great conversation with the Shark, Greg Norman. You couldn't sleep last night knowing that you'd be talking to the Shark.
Oh, my goodness.
You got his tattoo, the shark, on your arm, on your bicep.
Yes, right there. I mean, and people have asked me why I have a shark. Because I believe that if you're going to do something, either do it all in, which is also tattooed on my arm.
Alan, yep.
Not Alan. Black and Abdallah, thank you. It is either do it or don't. If you're going to be married, live life all in. If you're going to go on a diet, if you're going to work out, if you're going to do a job, if you're going to be someone's friend, either be all into the thing you're doing, or why are we wasting each other's time? And sharks, when they sleep, keep moving.
That's true.
And that's what I try to model myself at. Just keep grinding, man, because you know what? It really pisses off your competition.
You know I know.
Yeah.
You know I know, right?
Just keep grinding every single day.
It's now time for the Cap and J Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I've told you about the Newski bacon and the lobster salad with the champagne vinaigrette. I'm telling you to try the lobster escargot because it's maybe the best appetizer you'll ever eat. David Flom and Matt Moore have cooked up an amazing, amazing dining experience.
Tyler?
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Before anybody does anything stupid, we are not the weed police.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Boy, that was cut short.
It. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Just so you know, we're not part of the weed police. Just want you to know.
That's right. Could you tell who's the biggest jerk in the NBA?
Like, I'm being arrested for 3 pounds of weed, and you want to ask me all these NBA questions. You're fanboying in front of me. Now, again, that I'm sure a lot of officers, I have 4 cops in my family, so I can understand the term de-escalating the situation, right?
Correct.
It's exactly what they were doing. Don't worry about it. Let me ask you about LaMelo Ball.
Then put your hands behind your back.
It's so ridiculous. Today, Cap, is National Cream-Filled Donut Day. When you were eating donuts, what was your favorite cream-filled donut?
I was never a huge donut guy.
All right, we turn on to Shay Norling now. Your National Cream-Filled Donut Day. What's your favorite cream for a donut?
I'm a coffee cake guy.
I'm a Boston cream pie guy.
Boston cream in your donut. Tyler?
I like the lemon icing.
Lemon icing.
If I had to have one, I guess I'd go Bismarck with the like cherry or strawberry filling.
Yeah.
Or blueberry.
Probably go for me raspberry.
The raspberry.
That would be raspberry. If I'm going to have a cream-filled donut, probably raspberry. JR?
Yeah. Don't do the cream-filled donut.
You have
but,
to turn it up. That's a fine.
Really? Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Show me. Why don't you come show me
that's
how to do that?
That's fine.
I don't do donuts, but I do the maple donut, which is absolutely fantastic. If you had a maple long john with a strip of bacon on top, now we're talking.
I've yeah. seen that.
I don't
it's the whole
seen
salty,
that.
Sweet
like
thing that,
that
you're
yeah.
not into.
I'm not
yeah,
a salty, sweet guy.
Yeah.
Okay. What, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Since we're here, what kind of guy are you?
I would, if I was going to eat like something unhealthy, I would love chocolate chip coffee cake or a cinnamon type coffee cake. If I'm going to eat the maple long john, very, very good piece of pastry,
mm-hmm.
get the bacon off there. I don't like the sweet and the savory, like chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
Don't put freaking maple syrup on my chicken.
Right. Well, you can have it without the syrup too. That's a delicacy in Atlanta. Went to Gladys Knight's in Atlanta and she had that. She has her own restaurant there. Chicken and waffles. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Go ahead, Shay.
Cap said he's not a sweet and salty guy. It's because he's just salty.
Oh!
You're just a child back there.
He's got thank
he's
you.
He's the capital button.
Thank you for being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Our thanks to you for listening. Our thanks to you for twitching and being part of the show. Cap and I will be back in studio tomorrow. Our thanks to you, JR, and to Shay and Tyler Aki on loan from Waddle and Sylvie. On loan.
How about that?
So you know what that means. Tyler's on vacation.
That's it.
That's right, because he's working with us.
Rest of the day free.
Tyler, where is my sound? You don't have that today. He's got his feet up. Tyler is happy because he's working with us.
That's it.
Laughing and having
fun. Nice and relaxed.
Yeah. So for our entire crew out here at Rich Harvest Farms, for Cap, I'm Jay Hood. We'll talk to you tomorrow. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Sugar Grove.
By way of Chicago.